To the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you've got a comment, go ahead and send it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net, and follow us over on Facebook, facebook.greatdetectives.net. Well, I've actually dropped mentions of Podcast Alley, from the show, just because people weren't getting their vote confirmations if they weren't signed up, and they also were having trouble signing up. Well, Podcast Alley is now fixed, and we do actually have some votes, I guess, from all the months where I was encouraging folks to cast their votes there. So you can vote podcastalley.greatdetectives.net. Before we do get started with today's show, I do want to encourage you to check out Tales of the Dim Night. It's a great superhero spoof with a good, solid family story to go with it. If you're a fan of vintage superhero shows and radio programs, I think you will enjoy Tales of the Dim Night. It is available for your Kindle, for your iPad, or in good old-fashioned paperback. More information, including the first chapter, are available at dimknight.com. That's dimknight.com. Well, we're going to get into today's episode of The Abbots. This one is called The Burnt Copper Powder.
After all, if your husband were a private detective and he kept talking about the body beautiful, how could you tell if he meant one of his beautiful clients or a corpse?
The National Broadcasting Company presents The Adventures of the Abbots, starring Claudia Morgan and Les Damon as Pat and Jean Abbott, those popular characters of detective fiction created by Francis Crane. Tonight we are honored with the appearance of Miss Claire Luce, world-famous dramatic actress who is making one of her rare radio dramatic appearances on The Adventures of the Abbots. NBC invites you to join Pat and Jean each week at this time for another exciting recorded adventure in romance and crime. And here is Jean Abbott to set the stage for tonight's puzzle and murder, a story entitled The Burnt Copper Powder.
Pat was at his office in San Francisco. I was out of town visiting my family. It was about 6 in the evening. The lights of the Golden Gate Bridge were just beginning to wink at my husband. Naturally, he was desperately lonesome without me, so he called me long distance.
Jean, darling, can you hear me?
Oh, perfectly. Stop shouting. They've perfected Mr. Bell's invention, you know.
Did you get my telegram?
Oh, it was very clever, Pat. How do you think of such things?
Well, it's a cinch. You just sit in the telegraph office for 6 hours and chew a pencil, and eventually you work it out.
Pat, do me a favor while I'm away.
Anything at all, baby.
Well, when your next client comes in...
Yeah?
Soak him, clip him, clobberate him. I just saw a fur coat on Fifth Avenue.
Well, I'll try, dear. I've got to call you later, darling. Here comes the client.
Oh, I hope it's Rockefeller.
Bye, baby.
Bye, darling.
Yes?
Mr. Abbott?
Yes?
My name is Currier. This is George Currier. I'm from Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a great deal about your ability as a private detective, Mr. Abbott. I flew up here purposely to see you.
Well, what can I do for you?
Perhaps you'd like to see this check. As you can see, Mr. Abbott, it's made out to you. $100,000. Well, the check is perfectly good, except for the fact that I haven't signed it yet. I'm going to sign it, though, as soon as we make an agreement.
What sort of agreement, Mrs. Currier?
I understand you're a very clever man. This is going to take all the ability you have, and then some. My husband just died, Mr. Abbott.
Yes, go on.
He was murdered.
And you're offering me $100,000 to find out who killed him?
Oh, no. No, I can tell you who killed him.
Well, who did?
I did.
Now, just what do you expect of me, Mrs. Currier?
I'm going to tell you all the facts. Retrace every incident of the crime. I'll cooperate with you in every way you wish. But I want you to see to it that it's impossible for the police to convict me. In other words, I want you to help me to get away with it. Oh, I'll be suspected. I'll be questioned. I'm sure of that. But I must not be convicted. It leaves quite a margin for your ingenuity, Mr. Abbott. Well, what's your answer? Are you going to throw me out of your office, or will you join me for cocktails? Well, Mr. Abbott, will you take the $100,000 to help me get away with murder?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Currier. No, I will not. In the first place, I'm a private detective who operates on the side of the law. If your story is true, you can find a dozen small fry detectives who'd be only too glad to help you skip a murder rap. And they do it for a lot less than you're offering. Some of them would do it just for a good tip on the 4th at Santa Anita. But I wouldn't touch it.
I'll make it $150,000.
You don't seem to understand that it isn't the money involved. But let me finish. In the second place, I don't believe a word of what you said. This sounds to me as though, frankly, you're either out of your mind or playing some kind of practical joke.
All right, Mr. Abbott, if you want to be very old-fashioned and highly moral about this, we won't discuss it any further. I was just thinking, though.
Yes?
Well, perhaps we could have cocktails anyway.
Now, Mrs. Currier, I'm sure it would be delightful, but my wife...
Oh, you're married?
Yes, my wife just happens to be out of town.
Well, that makes it perfect, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know.
You are old-fashioned, aren't you? What are you going to do tonight? Play chess at the old men's club?
Oh, I just...
I don't usually have this much trouble with men.
Well, I can see why.
There are some other better reasons that you can't see just yet, Mr. Abbott.
Yes, well, I think you'd better go along without me, Mrs. Currier.
If you change your mind, I'll be at the champagne room.
Hello, Jean? Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Jean?
Of course I can, Pat. Why do men feel they must scream into long-distance phones as though they were trying to throw their voices 3,000 miles?
Well, I turned down her invitation, Jean.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's very fine of you. And that's...
But now I'm going to see her.
That's terrible.
Well, she told the truth, Jean. It wasn't a gag. I have the latest edition of the paper here. Listen to the headline. Movie magnate murdered. George Currier stabbed to death on studio lot.
Does the paper say anything else?
Her 18-year-old daughter is mixed up in it. Her name is Margaret. So is her husband's partner, Leonard Benedict.
Leonard Benedict?
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't they make quickie pictures?
That's right. I've got to straighten this out, Jean.
Well, keep your mind on the case, Bob, or I'll come home in the next plane and straighten you out.
Now, call me tomorrow. I'm going to the champagne room.
Well, aren't you even going to tell me you love me?
I love you.
What?
I love you.
Just the line I want to hear, and now he doesn't shout, he whispers. Goodbye, Pat Abbott. And like they say here on Broadway, don't call me, I'll call you. You crazy mixed-up detective.
I see you've changed your mind, Mr. Abbott.
Yes, I just read the evening paper, Mrs. Currier.
Then you're taking up my offer.
Well, I don't want the money. I suggest you give that to charity. It'd buy a lot of food for those hungry youngsters in Europe. Now, I'm here out of curiosity.
I think I can answer all your questions. My husband was impossible. I loathed George. He treated our daughter, Margaret, horribly.
Mm-hmm.
Poor child was in her room every night, crying her eyes out. George was a drunkard. He was promiscuous. He ruined the lives of a dozen people in Hollywood. Remember Tom Hopkins, the movie actor?
Mm-hmm.
He committed suicide because of George.
Now, Mrs. Currier, I suppose you'll tell me the details of the actual murder.
The other night, I went to meet George at the studio in Gower Street.
Mm-hmm.
It was deserted. He was on the set by himself. We'd quarreled all week. I was miserable, and I was in a mood to do practically anything to get George out of my life. As usual, he was vulgar and nasty, and finally, he slapped me in the face. I couldn't take anymore. I got terribly excited. There was a knife on the set. They were using it in one of the scenes. I grabbed it. We struggled. Then George slipped, and I dug the knife into him. I was fortunate. I was wearing gloves, so there weren't any fingerprints. No one had seen me come in. I sneaked out, took a cab home, and that was that.
Now, Mrs. Currier, don't you think if you faced this and told your story to a jury, you'd be safe and risking clemency?
Mr. Abbott, I have a daughter. Margaret's my whole life. I wouldn't drag her through a murder trial that cost me every penny I possess. Besides, if I were convicted, the child would be... She'd have a mother who'd gone to the electric chair. That's why you've got to help me. We could fly to Hollywood on the next plane. Oh, I'm sure your wife would forgive you, since you're going on business.
Well, Jean is not the jealous type. Not much.
I think you'd like my place. I don't imagine you're often called in a case where you can mix business with moonlight swimming.
Hello, Jean?
Go ahead, Pat. Where are you now?
I'm in Hollywood.
Well, tell Marilyn and Ava to calm down. There'll be enough to go around for everybody. What's with the killing, dear?
Well, I'll bring you up to date. From the airport, we drove to Mrs. Currier's estate.
Oh, fancy?
Even the cocktail lounge is a cocktail lounge. Architecture, Frank Lloyd Wright. Interiors, Dorothy Draper. 3 tennis courts, swimming pool. Shangri-La. These people have more money than Godfrey. Mrs. Currier introduced me to her daughter, Margaret, and left us alone. Well, Margaret looked like a teenager on the cover of an expensive magazine. Margaret took me for a ride in her convertible. You didn't get along very well with your father, I understand, Margaret.
Well, Mr. Abbott, to be honest with you, Daddy was a pretty tough problem.
Did you see him that night before he died?
No, I didn't.
See much of him at all?
Frankly, no. I'm away at school a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm home here in California, I like to spend my time my own way.
And what's your own way?
Oh, with my crowd. Our own kind of people and parties.
Quieter get-togethers than the usual Hollywood brawls are?
We get kicks our own way.
What does that mean?
You're a detective. You want answers? Figure them out.
You strike me as being closer to your mother than your father.
Who wouldn't be?
Was he such a bad boy?
Egotistical. Well, he was too busy for me most of the time. Jungle tactics in business. Oh, pretty rough customer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind saying I never dug him at all. Hey, I'm going to turn here. There's one of my favorite spots down the street.
I heard you were going to college in the East next fall.
That's right.
You glad about it?
Oh, sure. Gets me away from the moving picture crowd completely.
How about your father's partner, Leonard Benedict? They get along with each other?
Oh, very well. It's odd, huh? You know, Dad was an ogre to everybody but Leonard.
What are you stopping for?
This is the view I meant. Here, get out of the car and come over here. That's it. Over here by the stone wall. You get a great view of the Pacific at night. You think there's a more romantic spot anywhere?
Well, I don't go around checking these things.
Oh, you should. You look like the type.
You got a boyfriend, Margaret?
Oh, no one special. Particularly since most of the boys around here are just kids. I like men a little older than I am. Like you, Pat.
Mm-hmm. You're pretty childish yourself, Margaret.
Well, how do you know?
You picked up the adolescent notion that it's dramatic to chase older men, especially when they're married. What have you got in your head, a picture of yourself as a devastating husband stealer?
Oh, I don't think it's that, Pat. Not at all. I just go after something I want, and I don't much care what's in the way.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why somebody knocked off your father.
Maybe. Look, can't we forget the case for 5 minutes?
Now you sound like your mother. You come from a very interesting family. Your father gets murdered, and you and your mother make it a field day.
You always talk so much when you're alone with a girl.
How many cases do you think I'd break if I weren't around making love to all the females involved?
A lot more than you do now. Oh, look at that moonlight on the Pacific. Isn't it dreamy?
Yes. I think we better get back to the house. We better get out of here fast.
That's what I like about this spot.
What do you mean, that's what you like?
It separates the men from the boys.
You listening, Jean?
I'm listening, but I'm not liking.
Well, now you can see what I was up against. But I concentrated hard on the facts in the case. I wasn't responding to this girl at all.
What did you say?
This girl was getting nowhere with me.
Oh, that's funny. I thought you said the girl was getting nowhere with you. That I could not believe.
Well, I decided to pay a visit to that studio where George Currier was stabbed. The police had it locked up, but I got a pass and decided to give it the once-over. It was very late at night. The studio was deserted. The set was topsy-turvy. You could see there'd been a struggle. I found two glasses. One of them had a lipstick smudge. I put it in my pocket. I was going to see if it matched the brand Mrs. Currier uses. While I was examining the bloodstains on the floor where George Currier had died, I thought I heard a noise. I waited. Looked around. Didn't see anything. Then I heard it again. I turned my flashlight toward the back of the set. Then toward the cameras, the sound booth. Still saw nothing. Then as I was about to turn off the flashlight, I saw a face. A man was sneaking up behind me.
What the...
Sorry, Mr. Abbott.
Too, I found myself in a small, dirty bedroom. I could see headlights passing frequently by the window, so I knew I was near a highway. A man, extremely well-dressed and impressive-looking, was sitting by the bed with a gun in his hand.
Allow me to introduce myself, Mr. Abbott. I'm Leonard Benedict.
Mr. Benedict, what's the idea of bouncing me on the head with a blackjack? Oh, that's quite a bump.
I had no other alternative. I was afraid you might not come with me or listen to me. We're at a motel, Mr. Abbott, about 10 or 15 miles out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to sit there and answer my questions, Mr. Abbott, or I'll put every one of these bullets into you.
You're George Currier's partner, aren't you?
That's right. And you're working for his wife, who's trying to get out of the rap for having killed him. You're probably getting a fortune to rig it, too.
No, I'm not getting a cent. I'm just interested in establishing what actually happened.
You're not getting paid for it at all?
No, she offered me $100,000, but I turned it down. If she's really guilty, I'll find out soon enough. And I'll be the first man to tell the DA about it, too.
She is guilty. That's what you've got to believe. That's what you've got to prove. Well, she mustn't get away with this. George was a wonderful man.
I've been told quite differently.
By, Mrs. Currier?
Yes, and Margaret. They made him out a combination Boris Karloff and Simon Legree.
Well, he did treat Margaret pretty roughly.
Tell me, what's your stake in this, Benedict?
Seeing that the woman who killed my partner dies for it.
Mm-hmm. Get any ideas about how you prove it one way or another? So that a smart lawyer couldn't rip it to pieces in court.
Motive, Mr. Abbott. In George's will, Mrs. Currier inherits $500,000.
Wow. No wonder she was hiring detectives at $100,000 a clip. Well, it still won't do, Mr. Benedict. We need scientific facts. Evidence you can get your hands on.
That's your business. But listen to me and get this straight. I'll be watching you every minute. I'll be right behind you. And if you've been lying to me, if you're finagling around to fix this so that Margaret's mother gets away with it, I'll kill you, Mr. Abbott.
Well, as you can see, quite a cute predicament, Jean. If I nailed Mrs. Currier for the crime, I'd ruin her daughter's life. If I didn't, Benedict would see to it that I was lying around somewhere with a little garden on my stomach. Well, I checked the lipstick on the glass I had taken from the scene of the killing. Using a technique I'd been taught by a friendly pickpocket I once arrested, I lifted the lipstick from Mrs. Currier's handbag, and at police headquarters, a friend, a chemist, gave me the report.
Well, there it is, Pat. The lipstick on that glass is the same brand that Mrs. Currier uses.
Well, that doesn't tie this up in a neat package, though, Doc. Even though Mrs. Currier was at the scene of the murder, somebody else could have stabbed George.
Yeah, but who? You know, Patrick, I've been wondering. Why did Currier leave all his money to his wife? Wouldn't he have left something to his daughter?
He didn't get along with his daughter, Doc.
Maybe so.
I know. You've got a theory about murder once removed. In other words, Mrs. Currier is covering up. She didn't kill her husband. Margaret did. Well, Margaret could have figured it this way. She gets rid of her father. Her mother obviously gets the rap. Then little Margaret is left with $500,000.
Yeah, but she's such a sweet kid.
Yeah, well, there's one way to find out, Doc. And I'm going to have a whirl at it.
Oh? Well, what are you going to do?
Lift the lipstick from Margaret's handbag, too.
Sorry, Pat, you get nowhere. Margaret uses exactly the same kind of lipstick her mother does. Could mean she killed her father. Could mean she didn't.
Yeah. All right, Doc. I didn't want to do this, but I've got one more card to play.
Well, Pat, you still on the phone?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? What's this card you're going to play?
I'm going back to see Margaret.
Oh, I should have known there'd be an excuse for that.
Now, look, I know George struggled with his murderer. And from dancing with you, I know that if George held on to a woman for a while like that, some of her face powder might come off on his suit. I have to get a sample of Margaret's face powder.
From her boudoir, no doubt?
No. I'm going to take her out in her convertible again. Now, don't blow your top, Jean.
Oh, I know it's all in the line of duty. I'm coming home on the next plane.
Well, I promise to behave. It's my only chance to get that clue, dear.
If anything goes wrong with that gimmick, I'll poison you, Pat Abbott. Good night, Pat Abbott.
Good night, Lucretia Borgia. You're right. This is a beautiful spot. That moon. The view of the Pacific from this hill. Come here, Margaret.
Mr. Abbott, I...
Yes, Mr. Benedict.
I saw you drop Margaret at the house. Where are you going?
To the morgue. You see, Mr. Benedict, I found out that both Margaret and her mother use the same lipstick. Therefore, the smear on the glass near George's body is useless, so I thought I'd try matching face powder. There's a powder spot on George's suit. I saw it in the morgue. I'll have a nice sample now of Margaret's powder here on my suit.
You what?
Never mind how I got it. It's a burnt copper, see? I'm going to see if the two samples match. If they do, I'm sorry, but
Mrs. Currier won't die for that murder. Her sweet little daughter, Margaret, will.
You don't have to go to the morgue, Mr. Abbott. I was afraid that sooner or later you'd get to this point. You'll find the two samples do match.
Now, using your gun again, Mr. Benedict?
Yes, it's in my pocket. Margaret killed her father, Mr. Abbott, and I helped her to do it. Now we're going back to the house, and we're going to kill you. Start walking, Mr. Abbott. Walk straight to the courier's house, and don't try anything. I'd just as leave shoot you down here on the street.
Leonard, what the devil are you doing with that gun? Mr. Abbott, what's this all about?
He got wise, Margaret. Get your things, sweetheart. We're leaving.
I thought he was poking around too much.
Leonard, put that gun down and listen to me. Margaret, dear, please. You've got to listen to your mother. I know you killed George. I hired Abbott to cover up for us. I thought the police would arrest me, then Abbott would get me off, and they'd never suspect you. I did it for you, Margaret.
You did nothing for me. Nobody ever did. Lenny's the only one who ever cared about me. Lenny taught me things. Lenny showed me how to live. Oh, I hated it in this house. I wanted to get away with Lenny.
Take it easy, Margaret, honey. Now, come on, get your things. We can hop a plane to Canada. These two will never talk. I'm going to fix that.
I wanted to get away with Lenny, so we worked it out. We'd kill Dad, you'd die for it. And we'd get all the money. The money he cheated Lenny out of in the first place.
You wanted to do that to me, your own mother.
Oh, there isn't time for playing hearts and flowers now, Mrs. Currier. Yes, I wanted to do that to you, because I'd do it to anybody that gets in my way. You're rotten, too. I know what was going on when my father was alive.
And he knew what you were doing all the time, too, Margaret. That's why I couldn't stand you. You saw that hypodermic needle in your bathroom. Was dope one of the nice things Lenny taught you?
Why, you... Now, get easy, Abbott. Get your things, Margaret. Hurry. I told you I'd take care of her and Abbott, too.
You're not getting out of here, Margaret. I won't let you...
Take your hands off me. Let go of my breath.
I'll stop that.
I'll shoot you.
Margaret. I didn't mean it. I meant to hit your mother. Margaret!
You've killed her, Mr. Benedict. I'll take that gun. That's better. You all right, Mrs. Currier?
Yes, Mr. Abbott. Now that it's all over, I'm all right. This isn't the way I hoped it would work out. This isn't the way I hoped it would work out. Oh, Margaret.
Hello. Hello, Jean. Operator. Operator.
One moment, sir. Yes, Pat.
Oh. Well, now you know the whole story, darling.
Don't you darling me, Mr. Whatever Your Name Is.
Oh, I know what's bothering you. Did I have to kiss Margaret, huh?
It's the only aspect of the case that isn't quite clear to me.
Well, darling, how else could I have gotten that vital clue?
I have two things to say to you. You're a brilliant detective and...
Yes, and what?
And I hate you.
Well, that's a fine thing. Man is lonesome, his wife is away, misses her terribly. Wants a few minutes on the phone to console himself, and she says, I hate you.
Hate you? I loathe you. You should be shot at dawn, without a blindfold, too.
Well,
first rocket to the moon, very dangerous. You, they should put in a rocket.
Oh, Jean, look, I told you... Hello? Oh, Jean. Jean, did you hang up? Can you hear me, Jean? Now, look, will you stop this nonsense and tell me you love me? Jean, do you love me? Jean Abbott, do you love your husband?
I am sorry, sir. We cannot give out that information.
National Broadcasting Company has presented The Adventures of the Abbots, starring Claudia Morgan and Les Damon as those popular personalities of detective fiction, Pat and Gene Abbott, created by Francis Crane. Tonight we were honored by Miss Claire Luce, making one of her rare radio dramatic appearances on The Adventures of the Abbots. Included in the cast were Barbara Glenn and Louis Van Ruten. The Adventures of the Abbots was written by Howard Merrill. Original music composed and conducted by Dewey Bergman. Produced by Ted Lloyd and Bernard L. Schubert. Directed and recorded by Harry Frazee. Next week, same time, same station, another exciting adventure in crime with Pat and Gene in The Adventures of the Abbots. This is Wayne Howell speaking.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Welcome back. Here we get to see Pat kind of struggle with some of the proprieties. This is actually a pretty interesting case the way that it moved. Claire Luce appearing on the program was kind of interesting. She was actually towards the tail end of her career. She had had a long career on Broadway that went close to 30 years and ended in 1952. Very little movie work, some television work, and actually in 1955 she would actually retire. She did two episodes of the TV series Matinee Theater and then called it a career. So this was very late in a career from somebody who was best known for her stage work. I received an email from Abala. She writes, after hearing about this app countless times, I finally downloaded and I'm already enjoying it. Also, it was Sue Grafton who does the A is for Alibi, B is for etc. I believe you said it was Mary Higgins Clark. All in all, great shows. Well, thanks so much, Abala. And Lisa on Facebook also caught the error, and so you are correct. I misspoke. It was Sue Grafton, and that was a few weeks back. I was comparing the naming schemes of the Abbots, always having a color in the title, to the Sue Grafton work. So that a good catch there, and always appreciate making sure we get that correct. Got a couple quick comments from Podcast Alley. Thanks, Adam. Your show helps my day go faster. And great job. Keep it up. Well, thank you so much for your kind remarks. We'll be back tomorrow with Nero Wolfe. And next week with another Great Adventures of the Abbot, which will also feature a very special guest star. You want to be sure to listen. In the meantime, if you have a comment, send it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. I encourage you to cast your vote for the show on Podcast Alley, podcastalley.greatdetectives.net, and follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.